This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What if moving to a new country didn't just change your address, but reshaped your purpose? Today, I'm joined by Jessica Hammer, who embraced a bold new beginning, reinventing her passion in a new country and an entirely new language. Welcome to Discovering Journeys, and I'm your host, Sujala, where we explore the diverse journeys. When Jessica arrived in south of France to a city called Toulouse, she brought a passion for food, a knack for storytelling, and the courage to start again. In this episode, we explore how she turned her love for cheese and local culture into a thriving business called Taste of Toulouse, rooted in connection, curiosity, and the richness of what's around us. Jessica's story is a reminder that sometimes reinvention begins with paying close attention to where you are and what you love. Join us with your favorite summer drink. Welcome, Jessica. Happy to have you on Discovering Journeys.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me about your life in Michigan with the blueberry farm, and how did kind of shape your relationship with food?
I grew up on a blueberry farm in Michigan, where my family are third generation blueberry farmers. The farm was started by my grandfather and grandmother. And then as I was growing up, it was run by my dad and my aunt and my uncle. And my brothers and cousins and I all spent summers working on the blueberry farm until I got old enough to be able to drive. And then I was like, I'm not going to work here anymore. I need to go find a different job. But it really instilled in me this fascination with food systems and where our food comes from. Because growing up literally right on the farm in the middle of all of the action, I saw how complex those systems are and how much work it takes to get that food from fields to people's tables, whether that's via restaurants or farmers markets or grocery stores. There's just a lot of things that people, a lot of factors that people don't really think about. You know, for example, it pains me to buy blueberries at the grocery store because I don't know what variety they are. Because most people don't know this, but there are a ton of different varieties of blueberries that are all going to taste differently. And they come out at different times during the blueberry season. And I hate buying blueberries at the grocery store because I can't tell just by looking at them what varieties they are. Whereas if I'm back on the farm, we know what varieties they are because we know which plots are planted with different things. So I can say, oh, you know, this is what I'm eating today.
Oh, that's interesting. Never knew there are so many varieties. Whoa.
Yeah, it's just like strawberries and apples and all of those other things that they sell by the variety. But, you know, for certain fruits, they don't do that.
Okay. And you worked in marketing and business development in Chicago. So how was the phase like? And also continue telling me, how did the shift happen? Was it a slow burn or it was a sudden decision?
When I was in university, I had the opportunity to study abroad for a few May terms, which are like 4-week terms during the month of May. And that's when I discovered that I loved living in the city. I'm a farm girl at heart, but I love just the vibrancy of cities, the different cuisines that are available there, the diversity of people, of viewpoints, the ability to walk everywhere. I love that. And so after university, I moved to Chicago. And while I was there, I spent about 9 years working in marketing and event planning for a small neighborhood chamber of commerce. And it's funny because I got hired there because my boss was an ex-theater stage manager. And my minor in university was theater. And she looked at my resume and said, "Oh, you're a theater person. You can do anything." And, you know, I had already had quite a lot of, you know, business background as well, working with small businesses because I grew up in one. And so she kind of took a look at my resume and said, "Oh, you know, this fits." And that was that. I started out as just a program coordinator. And eventually by the time I left, almost 9 years later, I was their director of marketing. I owe a lot to her for professional development, for giving me opportunities to grow, and also just a fabulous role model.
Okay. And how did the shift happen that you don't want to do it anymore?
You know, I think part of it was just that I had worked in the same organization for almost 9 years, and I really just wanted something different. I didn't know what I wanted, but I just knew that as much as I had loved my job, I was just ready for whatever that next step was. I enjoyed what I was doing, but I knew that I didn't want my boss's job. And so if you get to that point where you know you don't want your boss's job, then I think that's about the time when you start kind of looking for something else. The year before, my husband and I had taken a trip to Paris, and I had met French wine and cheese, and I absolutely fell in love. And I said, "Oh, this is really interesting." What really hooked me about French wine and cheese, other than the fact that it tastes amazing, of course, is the French concept of terroir, which is a really interesting word for English speakers because we don't have a direct translation. You know, when we talk about it in English, we use the French term, but it's this whole concept that each place has a taste that comes out in all of the agricultural products from that place. And it's natural factors like climate, geography, geology, but also the human factors, what they do there, how they grow that is different than somewhere else. And with my farm background, I connected with that so deeply. I'm like, yes, of course. That makes so much sense that I really wanted to explore that more. And so after I left my job in marketing, I had just decided to take a few months off of working because I was really, really, I was really burnt out. And I needed a break. And after I kind of took a break and kind of took stock and was kind of figuring out what the next step was, I'm like, you know what? I'm really interested in this. Like, I want to see where it takes me. So I got a job in a wine and cheese shop in Chicago. And I was working full time as a cheesemonger, as a wine seller, being able to work with those products and learn on the job every day a little bit more about what made them so special, what made the small producers that we were working with so unique, how to pair wines and cheeses together, how to make these beautiful, gorgeous cheese plates for catering. So there was so much to learn.
Yeah. Once you open that box, you know that it is just not a simple cheese and wine which is served to you. It is so much beyond mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I learned, the more I realized that there was to learn. And I was like, wow, I could spend the rest of my life happily learning about these things.
Was it during the time that you found that this is your calling, wine and cheese?
Yes. So I think, yeah, during that time, I definitely kind of really felt that pull because that was when I was happiest, is when I was able to kind of share my love of wine and cheese and get other people excited about it. When we would have regulars come into the shop and say, "Oh my gosh, that cheese that you gave me last time was absolutely incredible." or, you know what? I never thought I would like blue cheese, but I tried the one that you suggested and it was amazing. And I was like, yes, this is what I love. You know, really being able to surprise and delight people.
And you moved to Toulouse in 2017. Why Toulouse?
Yes. My husband and I both, ever since we got married, we had both said that we wanted to spend an extended amount of time living outside of the U.S. At the time, it wasn't a very specific plan or anything. We had just moved to Chicago. We were establishing ourselves there. And so we said, you know, this is something for the future, but this is something we both want to do. And about the time that I was leaving my job in marketing, we had both kind of said, you know, maybe now's the time to start looking at what some options would be, because we're both at the point in our careers where we feel like we're not as tied. And we looked around at what sort of visas were available to countries that we thought that we would enjoy living in. And France had a type of visa called the passeport talent visa, which is a visa that has about 10 different categories, and they'll use it for skilled tech workers and researchers and entrepreneurs and sports professionals and also artists. And my husband is a dance teacher, performer, and choreographer. So he was able to apply for the passeport talent visa and got it to be able to teach and perform a technique of jazz and tap dance that he specializes in here in Toulouse. And we picked Toulouse because this is where he had professional contacts. He had come to Toulouse back in 2007, I think, with a dance company that he had been working with in Chicago at the time. They came to Toulouse on tour, and he fell in love with the city and was like, oh, I'd really love to come back here someday. And so because of that, he had contacts here. And so 10 years later, that was part of what allowed us to move here.
Wow. Many people think of a lot of ideas. They want to go in the line of their passion, their dreams, but not many take that leap. So what made you to take that leap of faith?
After we moved to Toulouse, of course, my husband knew what he was going to try to do in terms of dance, because that was what the visa allowed him to do. Thankfully, though, as the trailing spouse, my visa basically allowed me to do whatever I wanted. I could hold a salaried position. I could start my own business. I had lots of options. And so as I started to kind of look around at what was available in Toulouse, especially in my old fields of marketing and things like that, I started to realize that I wasn't likely to get a job with my level of French, because at the time my French was not good. I was still learning a lot. You know, I wasn't at a professional level yet, and I certainly wasn't fluent. Chances are I wasn't going to be able to get a job in my old field. And so I looked around and said, okay, what are fellow English speakers doing? And so many people were teaching English. I could do, but here in France, most of the people who are teaching English are doing it as freelancers and they're setting up their own freelance businesses, which in France is called a micro-entreprise, a small business. They're essentially, you know, starting their own business and working as a freelancer. And so I said, if I have to start my own business to be able to work here, I'd really rather put all of that effort into something that I'm really passionate about instead of just teaching English, because I could do it, but it wasn't my passion. Whereas food and wine was really my passion. And I saw at the time
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Nothing in Toulouse about food and wine that was in English. And I would, as I was going to the markets here, I would see English speakers walking through the market. You could hear them talking English to each other. And you could see how overwhelmed they were. Their eyes would get really big and you could tell that they just didn't know where to start, you know. And they wanted to be there. They wanted to explore it, but there was no easy entry point. If they didn't speak the language and they weren't used to how the French do market shopping. And so then they would just walk out of the market without even like buying or trying anything. And I'm like, oh, this is so sad. And also, hey, you know, I could do something about this. So that's really why I decided to start Taste of Toulouse, because I saw this need that I could fill.
Okay. What was your initial feel when you moved and what surprised you?
Initially, when we moved, the first 6 months here were really chaotic.
I can imagine.
It will take like 2 months to set up a bank account. And so I think there was a lot of culture shock at the beginning. You know, some of it we were prepared for, you know, but I think we just didn't realize the extent of it. And also a lot of the catch-22s that you have when moving to France without a relocation agency helping you. You need a bank account to get an apartment, but you can't get an apartment unless you have a bank account.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of these kind of catch-22s and just, you know, you spend so much time setting up accounts for things and working with bureaucracy and having appointments at the prefecture to get your residency card. And It was really exhausting getting all of those things in line, you know. So, and I knew it was going to be hard, but I don't think I knew like how hard it was going to be and just how much of a mental toll.
Yeah, it does take it. Yeah, it does. That exhaustion is real.
It is.
Like, unless and until you go through, you're like, oh my God, I feel tired for like, what have I done to feel this tired?
Yeah, yeah. I think we weren't used to feeling so absolutely stupid all the time. Because the other thing is, like, you're also trying to do this in French, which we had like a very low level, and we were actively learning all the time, and we were taking French classes too during this period, which was also very exhausting. I think it's something that I've gotten a lot more used to, being comfortable feeling stupid, I guess. when you're living in a country where you're not fluent in the native language, you just have to accept that, like, I'm not going to know what's going on. Yeah. 100% of the time.
The awkwardness you feel is so real. I really felt like I was a toddler.
Yeah, you kind of regress to feeling like a little kid a lot of the time, where like somebody else has to help you do things, and you know, your conversations are just really basic because that's the level of the language, and they're not as deep as they are in your native language. Really also adds to like the mental toll, and it's something that, you know, we've gotten more comfortable with as we've lived here longer, and also as our command of the language has increased, of course. But I think living in a country that is not your home country, like, this is just a feeling that you have to get used to sometimes.
You knew the drill of the administrative process when you have to move in here and settle down, okay? But still, you did the same or similar administrative process for Taste of Toulouse. Didn't it discourage you?
No, I would say because I had already gone through it once to set up here, it made starting a business a lot easier because I had gotten a lot better at kind of jumping through all of the bureaucratic hoops. And I also was at a much better place in my French. And so I was able to get by a lot more. And also, I'll be honest with you, I did hire like an English speaking lawyer to help make sure that my company was set up correctly. Because by this point, I knew in France that there's a lot of things that a lot of questions that you don't know to ask. I wanted to make sure that I just wasn't missing anything. You know, it was definitely a little bit more expensive to set up than maybe for a French speaker because I just wanted to make sure I wanted to have that peace of mind that I was doing things correctly. In the first couple of years of my business, I had an English speaking accountant, again, so that really communicate with them about what was going on in my business and they could answer questions.
So you decided and you hired a help, which, you know, makes it smoother for you. I'm curious to know what was going on in your mind.
There was a lot of self-doubt. Of course, I was like, I don't know if I feel ready to do this. I don't know if I feel qualified. What happens if it doesn't work? So there was kind of two thoughts in my head that really pushed me to keep going and to start it. The first was that, you know, as I said, at the time, there was nothing else in English in Toulouse around food and wine. And I saw that there was such a gap there that I really wanted to fill. And I said, Jessica, if somebody else starts something before you do, just because you were too afraid to start, you're going to be so mad at yourself. That was one of the thoughts. And then you're never going to get anything done if you wait to start until you feel ready, because you're never going to feel ready. You know, you have to take what you have and start and then continue to learn and continue to improve and get better all the time. Like it doesn't have to be perfect for you to be able to start.
Yeah, so true. So by this time, was your French getting better and did you see it helping you out in conversing with the middlemen, you know, like how they make the cheese and everything? Did it help?
Yeah. So I always tell people that one of the best ways to practice your French is to talk to people about food, because anybody will talk to you about food. Even now, I love, you know, talking to like my hairstylist or something like that. You know, we'll start talking about, oh, you know, the restaurants that you like, and have you tried this one yet? What did you think of this? And everybody in France has an opinion about food. And they love to talk about it. But at the time, the other thing that I did that both really helped my business and really helped my French was that at the time I was starting my business, I also enrolled in a 5-month business incubator program for female entrepreneurs here in Toulouse. It's through a nonprofit organization called Les Premières. And it was totally free because it was sponsored by the region because they want to support entrepreneurial growth. And again, I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with this with my limited amount of French. It's free. I don't have anything to lose. Ended up really, really helping me, not just with my business, but also as a way to be continually practicing my French and really stretching me. Because we would have, you know, half day or day long workshops where I was in French the whole time, which was really exhausting, but really forced that muscle memory. but also gave me a community of women who were also interested in starting businesses to talk with and to kind of share our struggles and to not feel alone in what we were doing. And also to get a better idea of how the French approach business creation, which I think is a little bit different than the general approach in the US. And so it was really good to get that perspective.
Yeah, finding a community of, you know, similar mindset people is, it's such a superpower.
It is. It is. For me, finding my communities of people that will support me and that I can support in return has been invaluable. I would not still be doing this if I didn't have all of these people around me supporting me.
The best part is you don't have to explain or over-explain yourself.
Yeah, to be able to go to one of them and be like, oh my gosh, this, like, is this just me? Like, what's going on? And they're like, no, 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 it's not just you. Like, this is, you know, this is something that we all go through, or this is a problem that we're all having right now. And then you're like, okay, that feels good to know that it's not just me.
Yeah, it's such a breather. It's a relief. Yeah. Before we get into the challenges you have faced, I want to ask you if there are any funny situations, maybe because of a language or because of, you know, cultural or embarrassing, whatever, any funny things. Hey, listener, thank you for tuning into Discovering Journeys. If you're enjoying this conversation, I would love for you to take a quick moment to follow the podcast on Instagram so you never miss these incredible stories and learnings. Also, please consider sharing it with a friend or leaving a review, as it goes a long way in helping more people discover this podcast. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
Oh, okay. So one of the absolute most embarrassing ones that I'm really thankful did not become even more embarrassing was that, so as I was starting my business and I was in this business incubator program with other French people, I was also going through the process of establishing my brand and logo creation and creation of, you know, your website design and everything like that. And I was working with a creative agency. I'm always really paranoid about sending things to the printer because, you know, because like you send it to the printer and you can't take it back. Like, yes. It is what it is. And, you know, so they had sent me drafts of my business cards, which I wanted to be somewhat bilingual because I knew that I was going to be using business cards both for my English speaking clients, but also for potential French speaking partners here in Toulouse, either, you know, artisanal businesses that I was hoping to work with or hotel concierges or just, you know, anybody that I might be giving my business card to. So I wanted them to work in both English and French. I sent the proofs of the business cards to my group of female entrepreneurs here in Toulouse to say, hey, can you look this over? Like, you know, do the translations work? Do you think, like, does this look okay? And at the time, I had like a tagline for Taste of Toulouse that was Taste Toulouse bite by bite. Okay. So bite by bite. And one of the women in the group texted me and she was like, I don't feel like this business card comes across exactly how you want it to. Because in French, there is a slang word for penis, which is beet, which is spelled B-I-T-E.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Same as the English bite. And so when you know that, this tagline, taste to lose bite by bite, comes off a lot differently.
Wow.
And she said that, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I had a good long laugh, and I was like, okay, we're not going to use that tagline anymore. So that one's going into the archives.
Yeah.
Never to see the light of day. Yeah, so that's one of the most embarrassing stories.
Oh my God, the language, the slang. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's an amazing story, I must say. It's a great share. So what were some of the challenges you faced while setting up the business and to get started off?
As with any business, there's one of the big challenges is establishing your presence. My online presence was really important because that's how people buy tickets for the tours, either through my website or through resellers online, but all of the sales really happen online. So that was one of the really big challenges, establishing that online presence and figuring out ways to get it to grow. A lot of which happened through social media, but also through establishing reviews. Like, reviews are so important, especially for tourism-based businesses. It's a lot different than like a local restaurant who they have clients that are going to keep coming back on a regular basis, like month after month. Whereas with a more tourism-based business, like you're getting in new visitors all the time. And also I was really lucky. One of the ways that I was able to kind of meet this challenge was to work with our local office of tourism. I cannot sing their praises enough. They're awesome. And I tell this to them all the time. The Toulouse Office of Tourism is fabulous to work with. And they're really committed to increasing the number of English-speaking tourists in Toulouse, especially leisure tourism, because we already have a lot of business tourism with Airbus and all of the universities here. And so they really want to increase the number of English-speaking tourists who are here for leisure. And so they often organize press trips to Toulouse for English-speaking journalists. And so I was able to establish a really positive relationship with them where they trust me to take journalists on my tours. And they know that I'll take good care of them. And they know that I have a really good product that shows off the city really well. And so that's really allowed me to have an amazing amount of really good press, you know, the kind of advertising that money really can't buy. So I've been really, really thankful for my relationship with them that really helped jumpstart my business a lot.
From the start to now, how do you think your entrepreneurship, you know, how you wanted it to be, or is it something you have learned, or you felt that I should have done it better because now you're a bit more seasoned as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. One of the things I look back on and wish that I could have done differently was how I approached the period of COVID. My business was shut down for almost 2 years, honestly. Because of all of the lockdowns and travel bans and restrictions around where people could eat and things like that. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. And when we were kind of going into the COVID period, nobody knew how long it was going to last. And I really wish that I would have just kind of taken the time to sit back and rest. I wish I would have given myself permission to relax a little bit more. Because, you know, during the whole COVID period, we were trying to do a lot on the computer. And, you know, I worked really hard to do some online, like, cheese and wine tastings and things like that, which were fine, like, in the short term. But honestly, they didn't really bring in that much money for the amount of work that I was putting into them. I kind of wish I would have given myself a little bit more permission to just chill out and rest, because honestly, like, by the time I came out, we came out of the COVID crisis, I was hitting burnout because, you know, regulations had changed so much and there was so much stress around what you could and couldn't do and trying to be really responsible about tourism, because, you know, that honestly, that was one of the things that contributed to the COVID crisis, was the fact that, you know, people were able to travel all over the world and, you know, spread this disease, and you don't want to be part of the problem. So, you know, there was just so much coming out of COVID. There was like so much you had to do and think about and, you know, try to start up your business again and like do all of these things. And I was already burnt out going through COVID and trying, so you just feeling like you were treading water and not really knowing what was going on and all of the changes. And so I really wish I would have given myself more permission to just relax.
Was this your lowest moment so far?
That was one of the really low moments. There's also been challenges. I think one of my big, more recent struggles was that as I was kind of starting, as the business was getting going better, as we were kind of expanding, I was doing multiple different tours. And so sometimes I was doing like, you know, two tours a day. And I was just like, this is not sustainable. I want to get to the point where I have a little bit more flexibility so I don't have to do it all myself. And so I hired someone to be a freelance tour guide who was a friend of a friend. He worked for me for 2 months. And while he was doing that, he went behind my back and started his own food tour company in Toulouse. Yeah. And when I found out about it and confronted him and said, you know, hey, what's going on here? Like, this is not cool. He told me I was overreacting.
Oh.
Yeah. And totally tried to gaslight me about it. You know, like, I'm a woman, I'm overreacting, and I was the one creating a hostile work environment. And, you know, he's just trying to earn a living. And, you know, all of these excuses. And it ended up that he left right before my busiest month ever. Mm. And so that was a really low point for me, because not only had I this like huge betrayal of, you know, of someone that I trusted to work with and had spent all of this time training and giving all of my knowledge to, you know, who really knew like the ins and outs of my business. And now he's going to go use it against me. But I still had to put on a happy face for all of these guests that were coming in. And, you know, working myself to the bone because I had taken on so many tours because I thought I was going to have this other person there helping me. And I ended up having to do it all by myself.
That must have been hard.
Yeah, it was really hard. And again, like, I really only made it through, you know, because of the support of, you know, my husband and my friends, and, you know, for them to say, you know what, this is not your fault. you know, you were not overreacting. This, you know, this really sucks. And like, we'll be there for you.
Yeah. It's so cliched to say a woman is overreacting and things. At this point, it's it's ridiculous, but well.
It is. Yeah. And honestly, like, I've been very thankful that I hadn't kind of received a lot of that treatment as a woman in business. Like I said, my boss back in Chicago that I had worked with was also female. A little bit eye-opening because I had never really been subjected to that sort of like gaslighting before. You know, it's just like, would you have said that to a man?
And I also feel they feel they can get away with it. I think that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And also there was a lot of kind of talking down to me and being like, you don't really know how business works. I'm like, don't tell me how my industry works. Like, I've been working in it a lot longer than you. Oh, you know, don't worry, I'm not really your competition. Well, like, yes. Yes, you are. yeah, it was a lot of gaslighting and talking down to me and trying to like mansplain it away.
So going forward, what are your plans for Taste of Toulouse?
We've had actually a lot of exciting things happening this year already. We opened up a new food tour in Elby, which is a city that is about an hour north of Toulouse by train, which I absolutely, absolutely adore. I have a couple of fantastic women in Elby who are guiding that tour for me. So I'm really excited that, you know, that's already happened, but kind of continuing to build the momentum there. We're also in the process of launching private cooking classes, which is something that I've been wanting to do for years. And because I kept getting requests, you know, who's doing cooking classes in Toulouse? And the answer was nobody's really doing cooking classes in English. And so again, this is a hole that needs to be filled. And so I was finally able to kind of figure out how to do it. And one of my guides here in Toulouse is a trained chef and is absolutely fabulous for leading the cooking classes. And so we were finally able to do a few cooking classes this year for that were requested by travel agencies who are putting together trips for their clients. So I'm really excited again to continue to develop that and expand it and start to also market that to a wider public.
Amazing, amazing stuff. So we're towards the end of the episode and I would like to ask you my three questions. So if today a foreigner wants to open a business in Toulouse, what are some of the things they should pay attention to, maybe culturally or administrative work?
So I would say definitely know the differences in culture between France and where you're coming from. In France, people tend to be much more risk averse.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
And so for them, I think it takes a lot longer to start businesses and they want to have everything lined up. But again, and so that part of it kind of clashes for me with like the American mindset of let's just get up and do it and get running. And so that was really important because I was kind of able to pick and choose you know, sometimes I'm going to do things like the French, and sometimes I'm going to do things the quote unquote American way, based on kind of what I thought I needed in that situation. And yeah, so I don't think it has to be entirely one way or the other. I think it's just important to kind of realize what the differences are and where those like points of friction might be. And also really just find a community, you know, find contacts, get involved, whether it's like joining an incubator program like I did, or finding people that are doing similar or complementary things to get support from. It, like surrounding yourself with people that are going to make you a better person and that are going to make you a better entrepreneur that you can learn from is so, so important.
You didn't think that I wouldn't ask you what's your favorites in Toulouse. So you have to pick your favorites in these categories. Your best cafe.
Oh, that's hard. That one's really hard. Because I work from home, so I do also tend to go to cafes a lot. Right now, I'm actually really loving Gigi Land, which is on the top floor of Midica, the Home Deck store on Esquirol. And I'm loving Gigi Land because when the weather's not too hot, they have a beautiful rooftop. So you can go and get a coffee or a juice or something and work on the rooftop. Their Wi-Fi is great for working. They have plenty of space. And so it's kind of a hidden gem because it's not somewhere that you know, it's on the top floor of this store, so you wouldn't really notice it as you were walking down the street. And I don't feel like a lot of visitors really know about it. But it's somewhere that I really like to go to work.
Your favorite pâtissière or bakery?
Also really tough. because one of the tours that we do is an afternoon chocolate and pastry tour. So I have a lot of favorites there. But I have to say, one of my absolute top ones is Sandian, which is near the carousel at Jeanne d'Arc.
Okay. Oh.
And it's a pastry shop that's owned by a Michelin-starred chef, Yannick Delpech. And the things that are absolutely to die for there, they have what I think is the best Queen Yaman in Toulouse, which is a Breton pastry that is made with laminated dough and lots of butter and caramelized sugar. They also have the best pistachio raspberry financiers, and whatever their seasonal fruit tart is, get it. Because they have a rotating selection all the time of pastries or desserts made with whatever fruit is in season. And so whatever it is, just get it.
Next week, I'm heading to Toulouse and my snack is sorted.
There we go.
And your favorite restaurant?
This one's actually a lot easier because I love it so much. My favorite restaurant in Toulouse is Franquette, which is on the Place de Tirset, which is really close to Arnaud Bernard. And Franquette is this fabulous restaurant that is owned by a woman chef. And their tagline is locavore sans chichi. So it's like local food without being really fancy and chichi. And they do, it's mostly, I think, dinner times, and then they do lunch on Saturdays. But anytime I go there, I'm just absolutely wowed. I can't tell you what my favorite thing is on the menu because the menu changes on a weekly basis. She posts the menu on Instagram every week, and that's just what the menu is for the week. And it changes every week because it's based on what is fresh, what's in season, There's usually maybe a choice of like three different main dishes, usually some sort of meat and like a chicken or fish. And then there's always a vegetarian option, which sometimes I'm an omnivore, but sometimes I even get the vegetarian option because it looks so good. And the desserts are always fantastic. And it's always really reasonably priced. I think three courses for dinner is maybe 38 euros right now. And so for the quality of what you're getting, it's just outstanding. And the service there is great. You can really tell that the people that work there enjoy working there, and they're like a really close-knit group. So it's not a super fancy restaurant, but like, given the choice of going anywhere, this is always where I will go.
Okay. Your favorite vegetarian/vegan restaurant?
Ooh. That's actually a hard one. Because my husband's vegetarian. So we go to quite a few vegetarian restaurants in Toulouse.
I thought this one would be the easiest for you because...
No, there's some really good ones. And unfortunately, some of my absolute favorites have closed in the last year or so. But there are some really good ones. So I can't give you one, but I can give you a rundown of what my favorites are. Bloomy Vegan on the Rive Gauche. So that's a fabulous mm-hmm. one. Also, there's a brand new one that just opened this year called La Sauterelle, which means grasshopper. And this is a vegetarian and vegan small plates restaurant. So they do like a tapas menu in the evening of small plates. And my husband and I took his parents there when they were visiting back in March. And they had just opened like a month before. So the menu is still really in development, but really fun cocktails and really interesting all vegetarian small plates. I also love Sixta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I like it.
Fabulous, fabulous, like, brunch lunch place to go to. Their salads are just amazing.
They're my favorite in brunch.
great brunches. And then there's one that is right off the Place Saint-Georges, and what's it called? I'm struggling with the name. Café Brûlé. That's right. That is a very, very good vegan restaurant as well. That is just off the Place Saint-Georges.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jessica. I'm going to hit some of these things in the next few months. What is your favorite pain, the bread?
Oh, that's tough. My favorite place to get baguettes is Maison Boer, which is in the Marché Victor Hugo, but also in the Marché Carme. And I also love their pain au blé ancien. So it's a bread that is made with like an older, ancient type of grain, like spelt. It's a lower gluten content and more easily digestible. And I love the taste of it, and I love using it for toast.
Oh, okay. My favorite is flûte.
Oh, really? Lovely.
In the conference, I think I fell in love with the bread was the flûte, when it is warm and nice from the boulanger, and especially in the evening around 5 o'clock, they bake the fresh set over there, and I used to go there and go. And by the time I come home, it's half is finished.
That's the sign of a good bread, is it's halfway done before you get home.
Yeah. Okay. Lastly, your favorite dessert.
This is really tough. This is really hard. So, again, I'm going to cheat here. Because it can't just be like one thing. coming from a farm background, like we were always making desserts with whatever fruit was in season. So I just got to say, like, and it's something I love about France too, is, you know, any restaurant you go to, and the pastry shops too, and the bakeries, it's all about the seasonal fruit. So like, you know, right now you're getting lots of stuff, lots of desserts with raspberries, and they're just starting to get into like apricots and the stone fruit. And, you know, we're going to later on, we're going to start having like the cherry clafoutis and a lot of different crumbles with all of the seasonal fruits. And so just like, for me, whatever dessert with seasonal fruit is on the menu, like that's what I'm getting.
Okay. I cannot let you go without telling me the cheese and the wine. Let me simplify it for you. On a tired day, okay, it's like 35 degrees outside and you just want to rest and you're at home. What is your pair of wine and cheese?
Ooh. So if it's 35 degrees, we're talking about summertime. Of course. So I would go with like a young goat cheese, because goat cheese is in season in the summertime and it's pretty light. It's not like super heavy and fatty. And I would pair that with a glass of sparkling wine because I love bubbles. And I love the fact that, like, especially in France, like, it doesn't need to be a special occasion to have bubbles. And so, like, a glass of bubbly, especially, like, one of the local sparkling wines, like, from Gaillac, and a nice little young goat cheese would be, like, my perfect pairing.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm not going to drill you further on your favorite, for sure.
Oh, like I said, I can talk about food all day.
Yes. You know, I did not want to go into that a bit deeper because I had a lot of questions and I knew it would make one more episode.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much, Jessica, for opening up and sharing your delights, especially the last part. So thank you so much. I have enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, me too. Avec plaisir.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible, so please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.